1 Peter 4, verse 3 and 4.
For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Because we've changed. We've become a new creature, haven't we? They get together and say, what's wrong with that idiot over there now? He's changed. He said he's become a Christian or something like that. He's crazy. That's what they'll say about you, isn't it? Yeah, and if you come out here, that's what so many people say. Don't go out to Thurman's church. He's a cult. He believes in healing. I will have to say, when we went to Norway the first time, when I started teaching these things, right out of God's Word. So I'm preaching to 50,000 in the morning, 100 to 125,000 every night. I did that for 10 days straight. Well, it wasn't but a couple of days, pastor started calling in and said, you know, I need to talk to Jan, the owner of the TV station, and you need to take that guy Scrivener off the air. He's the worst teacher I ever heard in my life. This sin, sickness stuff is not in the Bible. He told us one day at dinner, he said, you know, I told him, you've been on my station for 5 years. Nobody has ever called in wanting your tapes. Nobody called in to get saved. You never got nobody healed. Nobody's called in to say they want to repent of their sins because they held an unforgiveness towards somebody. Nobody's called in saying that they had a praise report because of something magnificent that happened in their life. But said, this guy, since I've had him on there, that's all I've had. He said, I never sold as many DVDs in my life. I had to buy some more recording equipment to be able to record all the hundreds and thousands of CDs and DVDs that people wanted that you of your teachings. He said, I never had sold this many in my entire life. He said, I never had so many people get healed, never had so many people get saved, never had so many people call in to forgive each other. He said, if Scrivener is a cult, if he's an occultist teacher, and if he's teaching false doctrine, then praise God, give me some more false doctrine. He said, because if false doctrine is getting people saved, delivered, and getting them drawn closer to the King, he said, that's what I need. That's what we're about. Is that what we're about?
Amen.
Drawing people closer to the kingdom of God. Getting people saved, healed, and delivered. And I told the story about the little girl, you know, that her husband called in and said he needed some prayer when I was on the Daystar television line. And he said, my wife has left me and the kids, and she's gone to work at a strip club and all this stuff. And I said, well, she's not a Christian then. I said, the devil's blinded her mind. So I went to the throne of grace, kicked the devil out of her, touched the Lord to take the scales off of her eyes, and asked him to convict that woman of sin, bring her back into the kingdom of God. When I got through praying all that, I said, now, son, call me and tell me what kind of a praise report the Lord's going to do for you, because I know he's going to do something. And the next Friday night, he called and he said, I need to talk to Thurman Scrivener. I said, well, that's me, sir. I'm Thurman. How can I help you? He said, well, I'm so-and-so. I said, okay, how can I help you? He said, you don't remember me. I said, no, son. I talked to lots of people on these prayer lines. I said, what can I do for you? He said, I'm the guy that called in last Friday that had the wife that left me and the kids and went to work in the strip club. I said, okay, I remember that. I said, I don't have one of those very often. So I do remember that. Yes, very clearly I remember that. So I said, what'd God do for you? He said, within an hour after I hung up the phone, my wife, ex-wife, called me. She said it was like scales fell off her eyes. What'd I ask the Lord to do? Take the scales off of her eyes. I said, then I asked the Lord to send the Holy Ghost to convict her of sin. He said, my wife said it's like scales fell off her eyes. She saw herself in a strip club with all these uniforms. She said, what am I doing in this place? And she turned in her uniforms, quit her job, called me, wanted to know if I'd come get her. He said, I went and got her and brought her home. Then I asked the Lord to let him be the one to lead her to Jesus. That night he led this woman to Jesus. She got saved. The next day they went and got a marriage license. 3 days later they went in and got married. He said, life has been wonderful in our house ever since then. I said, well, praise God. And then I asked the question. I said, how long has she been gone? He said, 14 years. I thought to myself, boy, I'm glad he didn't tell me that the first day. I thought she'd just been gone a few weeks. You know, I could have enough faith to bring her in. But see, you see what happens? It's if he'd have said, my wife left me 14 years ago, I'd have said, well, it's too late, son. Find you another one. But see, what I don't know, Edna, what I don't know, I can step into faith, right?
Amen.
I mean, I can step into faith. And so that's what God knows. He knows what you can do when you don't know enough stuff.
Amen.
When you just got the basics and that's all you need. Just think, one prayer changed a couple's life forever. That's just like yesterday at the healing school. One of the young men came up and said, I want you to know that CD, How to Get a Lost Person Saved. He said, when I got a hold of that and I read that, I copied that off, I read that, I marked all that down. I had brothers, sisters or something that were both lost, and I put their names there, and I started coming against the forces of darkness, praying that prayer over them every day, and said, just in a few weeks, both of them got saved. He said, I'm going to thank you for How to Get a Lost Person Saved. See? Where in the world do you learn all of this stuff? Oh, I know you learn it sitting down at the bar drinking with the guys. Oh, you don't think so, huh? You learn it spending time when the guys are sitting down there at the bar talking and making jokes about everything. You're in that book studying, right? That's where you learn it. And I'm amazed at the number of men as I was growing in Christ when I was a young Christian, especially when I was an engineer going out there in the world. They'd want to go out to the bars and drink and look at the girls at night. I'm a married man. They were married men too. But they still had that lustful eye. I ain't going, guys. I'm a Christian. I'm going to study the Word of God tonight. I'm going to read and study. Oh, Thurman, come on. You can do that later. No, I didn't go with them. I never went with them. You know, never. I had a wife at home, and I swore before God that when I married her, I would never be unfaithful to her. I meant that. He says, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot as you used to, speaking evil of you. You know, the world will speak evil of you. You know, they think we're crazy. Of all people, Christians, true Christians, that's okay. We don't care, do we? I don't either. I'm going to do what Jesus told me. But do you think that God requires us as His children to walk holy and obedient to His word?
Amen.
The very first man I ever prayed for in 1986 had stage 4 lymphoma, terminal cancer. If you'd have asked me, is he a good Christian? I'd have said, Ed Brock? Absolutely. I said, every Sunday morning he's in Bible study. Every Sunday morning he's in worship service at the Baptist church. Every Sunday evening he's there with his wife and they're in worship service. Yeah, good Christian, great Christian. Does he take care of his body? He rides bicycles thousands of miles a year. Him and his wife, they ain't an ounce of fat on either one of them. He was about 42 and she was about 40 years old. And physically, perfect. They eat health foods. I mean, they're perfect. And they're so lovely and so sweet. They love God with all their heart. You think, wow, if everybody could be like that couple. But at 42 years old, you get the feeling bad. And she takes him over to the hospital and they start doing some tests. And before the day's over, they do exploratory surgery and they cut him open and they sew him back up and say, we're sorry, Mr. Brock, stage 4 lymphoma, terminal cancer in every organ of your body. You have a few weeks at best to live. So I come in from Wednesday on a trip and walked up to the front door. And when I walked in the house, Betty said, honey, you need to go see Ed Brock. He's down at the hospital. I don't think he's got a very good report. So I get back in my truck and drive down to the hospital, find his room, knock on his door. Ruthie comes out. I said, Ruthie, I said, how's Ed? She said, Thurman, he's no good. They said he has stage 4 terminal cancer in every organ in his body. Only has a few weeks at best to live. Just as clear as a bell, this was the fourth time I'd heard the audible voice of God in my life. I heard the king say, son, tell Ed to call the men of the church to pray over him and I will heal him. Now, I have never seen nobody healed in my life. I've been in the Baptist church all of my life. I'm a deacon in the Baptist church. I'm a Sunday school teacher in the Baptist church. But I ain't never seen a healing. But I heard that. And I pray with her, and I walk off, and as I'm walking down the hallway, leaving, I looked up and I said, Lord, you didn't hear what she said. She said he has terminal cancer. He can't live. The Lord didn't say anything, but I can hear him now saying, son, if you ever get a hold of who I really am, you know, you won't never make a dumb statement like that again. But see, I didn't know him that well back in those days. I just barely did know him. So I go home and I get the Bible down and I start reading. I thought, Lord, I got to have something in this book that says that you healed today. I never seen nobody healed. I start reading and I come to James 5, 14, 15, 16 several hours later. Is any among you sick? Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint him with oil and prayer of faith will save the sick. Is any sick among you? Who does that include? It says, let him or her call for the elders of the church. What's wrong? Do we not have any elders in the church? There must be something wrong. And let them pray over him or her, anointing him or her with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Is that a guarantee from God?
Yes.
People don't know it's in there, so they don't use it. I thought, wow, that's awesome. So I fought a battle in the spirit world till Sunday that I couldn't contain myself. Sunday morning, I woke up and I told Betty, I said, honey, I don't understand what's happening to me. I said, I fought this tremendous battle in the spirit this week. I just don't really know what's going on. She said, well, what's happening? I said, well, last Wednesday night, God spoke to me in an audible voice. Well, she said, what did he say? I said, well, he told me to tell Ed Brock to call the men of the church to pray over him and he'd heal him. She said, well, good grief, if God told you to do that, let's go tell Ed Brock. And I thought, I'm the one heard the voice and I ain't got the faith to do this. She ain't never heard God's voice. And she heard me say, and her first words is, let's go tell him. I thought, thank God for good women. Aren't we glad we got some good women? That's one of the things, praise God, about Cheryl. Boy, she's so on fire. Let's go pray for that person. I went to him and I told him, I said, Ed, I have a word from the Lord for you. That's the first time I'd ever made that statement. And so I read that to him and told him that that was from the Lord and that the Lord would heal him if he would do that. And he said, Thurman, I'm 42 years old. I've been in church all my life. I've never heard that preached on, never heard it taught on Sunday school. He said, if something that powerful still worked today, you know somebody would have taught us that. I said, well, maybe they don't know it. I said, Ed, I'm a Sunday school teacher and a deacon in the Baptist church. I didn't know it was there till last Wednesday night. I went to Ed three times as he's dying in the hospital. And finally, I told him, I said, Ed, when you get out of the hospital this time, I said, read James 5, 14, 15, 16 out loud over and over and over till faith comes.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, With the Blood of Jesus, Nothing is Impossible, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and post-paid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and post-paid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.